Like,
I don't understand why you have to dig so deep into it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Mod State Podcast. So, God willing, or whatever you believe in, there will be no more lights flickering in my house, and we won't lose power. So, how are you?
I'm well.
Excellent.
I'm well.
Excellent.
Other than your power.
I don't know. The lights flickered for a second here in the studio, and then I said, I literally did a countdown. I went 3, 2, 1, and then down goes Wi-Fi. So, yeah, so everybody, welcome back. 166th episode, if you are tuning in.
That'd be a lesson to you.
Indeed. You're listening to us on some sort of platform, so if you are doing so, continue to do so. But you can find us on a number of different platforms. That's iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Podomatic, which is our hosting site. And, of course, you can always find the episodes at modstate.com, which is really the mothership of this whole enterprise. So if you haven't been over there, please indulge. Well, it's been a busy month and a half. So, well, we'll just call it a month. We're only halfway through December.
In the midst of a reboot all around. Not a reboot, but
it's
presumption.
Yeah, it seems if you have been an avid listener, it seems probably that the episodes have been coming at a
presumption of worth
less frequent. Less frequent pace, but the plan is, of course, to keep rolling with this, and we're just sort of working out work schedules and relocating, etc. But have no fear, we will continue to do this podcast and bring you the illustrious yet illuminating banter between both John and I. So that's my plug. Excuse me, we have plenty of stuff to talk about, so why don't we go ahead and jump right into... Well, before we jump right in, there's plenty of stuff going on. So I think we, in terms of geopolitically, domestically, there's a lot going on, but I think it's fairly overshadowed by what's going on in the White House and everything sort of surrounding that sphere of influence. So as we know...
Pause.
Pausing.
Resumption. No, don't pause the recording.
No,
it's not a good idea. Resumption is the action of beginning something again after a pause or interruption. I just haven't really used or heard that word much in my life.
A resumption. Okay, I like
you. You hear presumption.
I hear presumption, but resumption. And presumption, a very different thing from resumption. All right. That's your lexicon
anyway
for the day, listeners.
Yeah, that's our plug for Bing.
Yeah, so I figured we'll... begin with the...
I'm not plugging those who shan't be named.
We most definitely will start on this topic of Trump in the sphere of the Trumpistan, because I think our international listeners are probably following this with more scrutiny than the rest of these more domestic things that we will talk about.
And they should be.
Yeah. And look, I sent you a text, I think it was earlier today, and I said, man, as we were prepping for this podcast, I said, look, I don't want to talk about anything Trump. And just because I'm exhausted by, as everyone knows, Michael Cohen, who is his fixer, has now been sentenced to 3 years in prison. But have no fear, he'll have a fantastic book written by the time he's out of prison. And a lot of what has been dominating the mainstream media is his sort of repentance. And if you look back, Cohen had a moment of repentance, I think, when he knew he was going down, where he sort of swung Democrat, vote against Trump, etc. And now, as he's going to prison, he had an interview with Stephanopoulos where he was sort of lamenting his dirty deeds and the doing of the dirty deeds as Trump's
That's
fixer, which is unfortunate. and just something I really didn't care to listen to. I'm just sort of exhausted by the entire thing. But
By that, hold on a second, though. I didn't do that. I really am not a big AC/DC fan. I didn't do that truly for my own amusement. Do you really buy the whole he was paying it out of his own pocket? Oh, just later the president will reimburse him. I'm not sure I'll buy that.
Look, I think
the whole thing's I haven't.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you're
the National Enquirer involved in a daily headline disaster, if nothing else, and I think I'm being kind by using that word.
Yeah, look, I mean,
use far, far worse. Many people tell me, okay, that it's worse than disaster, but it's at the very least a disaster to have the National Enquirer connected in a personal payout scandal with the President of the United States. I'm sorry.
No, it is. It's all kind of gross. And look, in terms of Cohen and his repentance, I don't know what it's like to be that deep in that kind of world where you really, when you ask the question, what is it you actually do here? And it's sort of hard to explain, like, you're a fixer, you're a gopher. I think most people who watch House of Cards know the one character who is more or less just a gopher. It's like, what do you do here? And you just do the bidding. And I think at some point in those...
I think that was Kate Martin for a while.
Yeah, in those circles, I think you invariably will get stuck into sticky situations for cover-ups, etc. And most gophers for these organizations and these individuals never get, you know, ferreted out because they aren't under the level of scrutiny that this organization is. None of this would be happening. Absolutely none of this would be happening if Trump was not the president of the United States. He would be doing business as usual. He could have any sort of money laundering through Deutsche Bank. He could be doing it just wouldn't matter. But I think if you're a Trump associate and you're someone like Michael Cohen that's been part of this organization for a long time, you are shaking a little bit going, dude, I really hope they don't turn over that rock. It might not be Russia related. It might not be Stormy Daniels related, but you just hope they don't dig too far because you're going to turn something over that you don't like. I mean, you have to realize the Trump Organization is not a public company. The Trump Organization is a private company. So I'm not saying that private companies... I'm not saying that private...
How long until Robert Mueller's fired?
Look, man,
I don't know if my spidey sense is tangling. He's going to...
The spidey sense for me is not tingling. I think
desperation
that,
move is not far away for me.
Maybe not. Oh, desperation move on Trump's side, not Mueller's side.
The Hail Mary.
Yeah, man, it could be. What brought me back to wanting to talk about this is because I sort of started to open up some headlines, and they started Trump tying the inaugural committee under now criminal investigation for not necessarily Russian-related issues, but just just criminal activity, potential criminal activity, I might add. So to me, it's...
Now, I'd like to posit this, however, with a capital comma, all right? I am not a believer in any of the birther stuff, never was. I have followed President Trump since he was just Donald Trump in the USFL days because I was interested in football, spring football, all right? And I met one of the players, all right? But so I have a sense of long-term fascination with him, if you will. But this mirrors into something different here, okay? In that, while, again, forget the old Obama conspiracy theories, okay? The President Obama conspiracy theories, excuse me. I'm not going to say that some of the acts of the Clinton crowd, at the very least, to include some of their inner circle, aren't at the very least on par here,
I don't disagree with that.
You know, that's one of the reasons why the election sank to high heaven, okay? Say something rotten in Denmark, we need to have a new expression.
I agree with you. And I'm not, with a Republican-run House and Senate, do you think that there wouldn't be an investigation? Well, 100%.
It's also fair regarding Congressman Nunes.
Yeah.
I also admitted at the time that I felt like that was a partisan move for him to do what he did. So I've been on the level here all along. This isn't necessarily diehard any one partisan. I've coined the apparently annoying phrase. I've never gotten sworn at a job application before, whether it was game partisan or mod state. Well, that happened in this job application, recently to mod state. But anyway, it's an extreme set of circumstances.
Yeah, and I am not approaching this with any partisanship. And I'm glad that you made that clear about yourself. I mean, this is really just what is happening. And it's hard not to be somewhat entertained, if you will, maybe that's a bad word, by the things that are coming up.
And I'm going to give him a bit of doubt, okay? The President of the United States, I'm sorry. I'm separating position from personality here, if nothing else, deserves the benefit of the doubt, okay? Sure.
And
I long maintain this. It's not going to be so black and white because, again, just like I said about the dossier out of Russia, the Steele dossier, if there was something that big of a deal, like the whole prostitutes and urination thing that was like compromising, we would have, I'm sorry, things in this day and age, they leak.
Sure.
Regarding this.
Well, okay, so. I hear you.
Not like it's not enough.
And what we found out now, or what is currently happening now, is that
bring this on home.
So the inaugural committee is now under investigation for, and I don't know what the criminal offense would be necessarily, because it's not under the emoluments clause, but really what it is the Trump administration used the Trump hotels for part of their inaugural events. And what's under question now is that they rented out the space for a higher price. Now, this has nothing, this is not connected to Russia, or I couldn't imagine that it would be, except for the fact that beyond just renting out the space, there's questions now about foreign donations and that could potentially sway policy. So that could be the Russian link to this. But beyond Trump, beyond all of this, it's
serious.
Yeah, it's kind of embarrassing.
Wait. No, on that point, I got to say, that's one of the weaker points against the administration that I've heard to date. Because I'm sorry, even if it is a red-handed act, you're not going to convince me that has not gone on in, I don't know, 9 out of 10?
I agree with you. I agree with you. But
just excuse it, okay?
There is an issue. There is an issue with the issue of enrichment. So that you would use specific spaces or specific donations for personal enrichment. And there's the business that ties into this as well, which sort of adds a layer of complexity to this. Now, it's easier to happen to someone like Trump in the Trump organization because he's a businessman and this is what he does, as opposed to someone like, I don't mean to use him because it's a partisan thing, but we'll take Obama, for example. His background was not real estate. His background was a civic organizer to Senate to presidency. It's just different. Being entrapped, and entrapped's not the right word, but being in these situations is probably far less likely than it would be Donald Trump. I just think that's statistically true. But beyond the Trump organization, I think it's just somewhat embarrassing overall. So we also had, I think it's Marina. Or Marina Butina, who is now pled guilty as a foreign asset to the Russian government, who like grossly infiltrated her way into high levels of GOP conservative minds and arenas. So one of the NRA. I mean, this person got as close to asking the president questions about Russian relations and sanctions. I mean, it's like...
No wrong relations. Relations are beautiful.
But to me, that's just... It's... When people step back and say, man, I don't really see the link. I don't see how this is possible. Like, what's going on with Russia?
Between this and the nutty professor?
Man,
I could find you.
It's just strange to me. It's all very weird. And not to belabor this topic any longer, but it's... I think what we will find is that I think Mueller is beginning to show his hands, and I think the public, both conservative and Democrat, are just looking for some kind of conclusion to this, and it obviously one side hopes for one conclusion, and the other side is dead set on making sure that nothing really comes of this and doesn't want anything to come of it. So, I mean... Let's not talk about impeachment on this episode because it's just not worth our time to begin talking about it.
At this point, given the benefit of the doubt, I choose to believe the status quo as it is, that there's nothing to see here.
Yeah, and I think for me,
until I see,
that isn't because
de facto conviction here, red-handed.
Yeah, that isn't because you don't want impeachment, you don't want something to be there. But I think for my own level of exhaustion and
the country, for one thing.
Yeah, but it's also for my own just sort of mental exhaustion. I mean, this is something that we follow all the time, and it's just.
But this is bigger than you or I getting exhausted, okay? This is beyond any personal embarrassment. I mean, I'm not meaning to, like, try and take the moral high ground here or anything, but the fact of the matter is that this is what's, whether we like it or not, consuming, if nothing else, a large portion of the macro lens that the world is looking at us through. And in some places, it's positive. Some places, it's not as it once was, and I'm not talking about opinion of any one politician.
No. It is the lens by which many people out in the world, at least internationally, view the United States. And
so it's like the de facto topic. If we don't know what to talk about going in, or, you know, it's not very hard to just pick up your phone 5 minutes prior if you really wanted to do that. Now, I mean, we don't do that, folks. I hope it sounds better online than that. But the reality here is that it has, regardless of what side of the fence you find yourself on, whether you're trying to straddle that fence, doesn't matter to me. Everybody who knows anything about this has an opinion.
Mm-hmm. And It's really hard for me at this point, and especially saying centrist. I mean, that's not what drives my need to just sort of take a less opinionated view on this, because everyone's opinion is quite frankly bullshit until the cards are on the table, and it's really not worth my time and energy surmise.
I go back to the dossier and Mueller both. They would have dropped their cards already if they had a smoking gun. They don't have it.
Yeah. Well, and so to move on, and maybe a hard stop there, is it seems that the president is at least taking this time. I mean, obviously, there's some – well, he's just named his new chief of staff, and which is sort of an internal transfer. And we'll see. You know, again, I'm not here to guess how it's going to go, if it's a train wreck or not.
Well, I can tell you this to frame any opinion you have about it. It just cemented, or at least, didn't cement, because you certainly got a lot of, there's a lot of dissenting views there, and that's probably a good thing in reality. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of internal tension, and again, whether that's to the reality TV show amusement or whatever, I don't know, is irrelevant. I think that's a good thing because it keeps a constant flow of information going through there.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Vacuum's not going to be good in any circumstance, but especially here. Mm-hmm. But I think, continue.
No, I think, so for those of you who don't know, I believe he's just named his new chief of staff, and that's Mulvaney, who was the, I believe he's an economic advisor, right? I hate to not have my facts.
He was the director of office management and budget.
Ah, yes, the OMB.
Office of Budget Management.
Yeah,
I can't remember exactly, but it just accented his more hardline leanings, because we're talking about a man, Politico. I thought it was interesting. They called him, who was previously a registered Democrat and was not positionally, but basically in terms of polls, was gelatinous in terms of where he stood on specific issues. And sometimes it can depend on certain opinions, the way they're framed. I'm not saying the president is stupid, but I'm saying every president gets briefed.
Mm, yeah.
Okay. And nobody can take the word from here.
And you were right.
Something that Nixon got briefed.
Yeah, he was the director of the Office of Management and Budget. That's what it was.
He was the founder of the Tea Party Caucus. He wanted it called the Right-Wing Nut Job Club.
Yeah.
That's what he wanted the group called. It got called the Freedom Caucus. He's the reason John Boehner resigned a day after the Pope spoke.
Anyway,
and Mark Meadows.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's whether you want
to
call
say
it,
anything to frame this. How he's going to act? How he's going to advise the president? How he's going to raise hell? he's not just a guy out of position on. It's not like he's the UN ambassador, which, by the way, the UN ambassadorship is no longer a cabinet level position.
Mm-mm, no. So it will remain to be seen how he does handle the president, and we'll see. I mean, it's sort of strange that we're talking about this post in terms of handling the president as opposed to just handling day-to-day operations. However,
I don't even mean that as an insult.
No, it's not.
I don't mean it's an insult.
No, I completely.
I think the bigger question is how he reacts with people around him.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
In around rather.
So, which, if anyone else, and we're talking about seeing the America through the lens of Donald Trump, we did just have, and I almost refrain from bringing this up in the podcast, but it's I think more interesting to parse through this, not because of the sort of entertainment value of it, but because it's setting the tone for the next 2 years. And that was the Trump meeting with Pelosi, the most likely Speaker of the House, and Chuck Schumer, the minority leader in the Senate. So they had which was going to just be a sit down, which turned into the media having on the wall, fly on the wall.
I love it that the president does that. I do.
Hey, you know what?
It's access.
It is. And in a way, you can. I think when you walk away from it, when it was all said,
working for
when it was all said and done, it's hard to really find a winner and a loser necessarily. We like to do that in this world, a winner and a loser.
It was a zero sum game,
but it really was the only thing. So there's two things that happened, and
there was no move possible with which somebody didn't lose something, and in this case, a lot of people lost things in terms of positions and polls, what got broadcast, the optics. But I think overall, if I had to give an aggregate to the primary players, I'm going to say the Speaker of the House elect, if I'm reading the Democratic caucusing right, it came out looking the best.
Yeah, I think so. And I don't know how hard it is to I mean, just remaining civil is enough to gain points. But let's just for one moment, I will say the biggest loser out of the entire meeting was poor Mike Pence, who literally looked like he took an edible and was just sitting in that chair the entire time with nothing
to
say.
He looked like he wanted to be anywhere.
That guy wanted. It's like he saw the media pool walk in there and he was like, "Oh my god," and just like
there was no escape.
Like, I want to be any other place on planet Earth than in this room right now.
You know what? Maybe he had, for the first time, and just or maybe somebody put it in his lunch. It was probably the best decision ever made if they did that. Well, no, that's not a good idea to say that about the vice president, but that'd be a funny joke. But anyway, the reality is, wouldn't you want to be stoned to deal with that if you were Mike Pence?
Oh, God. I mean,
I'm not being disrespectful, folks, no. But Nate, if you go and sit there, Nate, you're a handoff machine. Mm-hmm. In terms of sports, you'd be handing the ball off to the star running back play after play. You don't matter. Mike Pence is in the seat a previous vice president once called worth a warm pitcher of spit.
Mm-hmm.
The Dick Cheney's in this world are not very common.
Yeah, it just showed in that. But again, moving away from Mike Pence, I think there's a couple things we can take away from this. And obviously the macro viewpoint that we'd like to look at is how this sets the tone for the next 2 years. Look, I think Trump stayed on message in terms of his border wall messaging, et cetera, to his base. I think that Pelosi and Schumer did a good job of kind of calling him out. And I'm not saying that that's what I wanted. Quite frankly, I didn't even know it was happening. So there's not wanting anything. It's just what I think happened. And beyond that, I think the only loss there, and it isn't so much for Trump, but it probably is more of a loss for the GOP as a whole, is him taking what he would like to call the mantle for a government shutdown. And look, I hate government shutdowns. I don't even work in the government anymore.
If you're Mitch McConnell, wouldn't you let him?
Well, yeah, but
at this point, look at optics in terms of what could possibly happen and where you might be tied in the future. It might not entirely depend upon 62 million people in the country. It might be a great deal more than that.
It's true. I mean, I'm not saying, again, when I say winners and losers, I don't really know how that plays out. But, you know, taking the fall for a government shutdown for $5 billion, I don't know.
Screw that. Would you, if you were Senator McConnell, consider letting President Trump take that mantle if it happened?
He could. But the question is how tightly wound or how – it just depends on how it's perceived in terms of the GOP tied to Donald Trump. So how could you spin it in a way that shows like that makes it appear as though the GOP is so interwoven with Trump that by him taking the mantle, the GOP is also taking the mantle for those who support him? I don't know. Might be a long shot in my sort of assumption on this. And they might be able to distance themselves from it. But I don't know, I won't lie, like at a personal visceral level, like it grosses me out to shut the government down because of the hell we had to go through during government shutdowns. And whether that's worth it over $5 billion, which is then the question that Trump posits to the Democrats. Is it worth it to shut the government? I'll shut it down for $5 billion, but is it worth it for you? And that $5 billion for the border walls, I think, is probably more symbolic than anything. We're talking about $5 billion.
Well, it depends on how long Trump's willing to wait. The reality is, okay, most of the shutdowns have not gone the majority party's way. Of late, it's been House Republicans. We saw it happen, even though John Boehner ran a shutdown about as well as you can in that caucus of cats.
Okay? Yeah, and
the reality is, it's going to depend on the only way President Trump wins here, and I mean in political terms. There's no terms in optics where you can win here in a government shutdown. The reality is, you said you're the ultimate deal maker. Get a deal done.
Yeah.
But in terms of political wins, the only way to win is to quite literally sit there if it takes up until a year and people are rioting in the streets until you get that $5 billion or whatever for the walls.
Yep.
And yeah, you'll have to bleep that out. Sorry. It came right out there.
Oh, we're not.
But the reality is, you feel me?
I do. I would like to note that I think that's the first F-bomb in 165 episodes.
I think I dropped one around episode 4.
Did you?
I think I did. You're like, now my mom can't listen to this. And by now we know your mom's not listening to this. She's like, I'm not listening to that tripe anymore.
Nah, she just got to call me if she wants to talk to me. But I will say, I have a pretty foul mouth.
I've gotten so much better.
And you've gotten good. And so I'll give you congratulations for that. Anyway, so
I've got to go to confession.
In terms of the overall view, like what do you think over the next 2 years? What sort of, does this set any tone at all? Is this just a media event? Is this his first sparring with what it will be like to have a Democratic-controlled House, and what does that?
I think there's a certain amount of fence testing here going on. Yes, and I think the Democrats have the edge in terms of messaging with the people. Of course, right now, I mean that's a reality because look, anybody wants to argue with that, look at the scoreboard. Yeah. I'm sorry. So the Democrats have the people's ear right now, and they certainly performed well under pressure. Senator Schumer, to me, has always come off as rather smug. Representative Pelosi comes off very well, in my opinion. I mean, he's very two-faced. I mean, we saw the objections to George W. Bush being able to appoint any more justices, and then the hypocrisy. Again, it was a case to repent or did not do the best thing for the country, but it was certainly in political revenge terms justifiable.
Sure. Yeah. No, I agree.
Merrick Garland made it through three rounds, never to get kicked.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a never-ending series of bloodletting. But in the long run, as far as President Trump, I think, yeah, this is some testing of the fence. But this is a man that thrives on his name being in lights regardless, okay? And it's important to note that he always refers to how somebody looks on television. And he does very well on TV. Even that was a backhanded compliment that he gave Michael Cohen. It's a man that leaked the details of his first affair. I'm not saying anything that I would say to the president's face. He leaked the details of his affair that ended his first marriage to the press because he would rather have bad publicity than none.
Well, it's strange because he does a really good job of even if the situation, if you were to score it, just a popular vote on who won or not can actually turn a negative into an overwhelmingly.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
About
him. Yeah. And in that case, the only way to win job. This game is not. Yeah, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning into this episode of the Mont State Podcast. A little different from regular programming, but we've done one episode and broke it up into two. So, until next time, au revoir. We'll see ya. We move all the merch, CDs, and shirts for you. This is a game, but for me, this is work. I punch in high.